Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
We're going to talk about hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. John 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I was going to tell you to turn to your neighbor and go, eh, but I don't think that's appropriate. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm listening. Turn to another neighbor and ask them, are you listening? Now, one more neighbor, find them and say, can you hear me now? Good. You may be seated. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Such a powerful truth condensed in just a few words. I want to encourage you tonight to not just hear God, but listen to God. There's a lot of what God is wanting to do in your life that is going to come through his written word, and we're going to talk about the difference here tonight. But there are so many individual things for your life that are going to come through God's voice to your spirit. And here's what I know about God. God's written word is for all of us. But what God is speaking to you can be vastly different from what he's speaking to me. He might be speaking to you about relationships, and he might be speaking to me about purpose tonight. He might be speaking to somebody on the second to back row about their job, and he might be speaking to somebody on the seventh row, three people in from the aisle. He might be talking to you about your career move or about what God is going to do in the next few months of your life. And so I want to encourage you, the written word is so special, and that is for all of us, but God will speak an individual word for you. That's why I think it's important that we do not put a lot of faith and hope in man, because they didn't hear God's voice for your life, and they don't know God's plans for your life. And that is why I encourage you to fall in love with the voice of God. The question that should never be asked is God speaking? And a lot of people, I think, would question whether God is speaking because it is quiet in your life. The question is always, are we listening? Not is God speaking. Are we hearing? Better yet, are we listening to the voice of God? Because I've got good news for somebody tonight, actually for everybody tonight. God is always speaking. There is not a time where God was not speaking. And for those of you that have heard me talk about the word of God and and God's voice, you've heard me talk about the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. It's called the silent years because it talks about how God was not speaking. But really what could be said or should be said in the silent years is that God was not speaking a new word, but God was always speaking. And if you've heard me preach for any amount of time at all, you've heard me say this, that I don't think that God is responsible to tell you something new unless you have done what is old. So a lot of us are asking God, speak something new and fresh into my life in February of 2025. And God is saying, why would I say something new when there's February of 2024 that you haven't even done? There's word from last week, last month, last year. And so God is always speaking. God's word never fails and God's word is always working. Something God showed me in Isaiah chapter 55, 11, if you know that verse by heart, you get excited just at the mention of the text. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Meaning this, it works. The word works. Whether you want to admit it or not, the word works. Sometimes we're not working, but the word will always work. And so as the people of God, we've got to work the word because it will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55 is the reason that I can confidently say, church, that God is always speaking. Because if his word does not return void, that means his word is always working, which means his word is always speaking. They are talking about and have been talking about for the last 10 or 15 years that every word that is spoken and every sound that has happened on earth never ceased to be, or never quit, meaning this, that if we develop the right technology, we could reach out in the atmosphere and we could bring Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, "I Have a Dream," and we could record it again. We could take the Gettysburg Address back in the 1860s and bring it to 2025, meaning this, that when the word is spoken, when it is released into the atmosphere, the word of God never stops talking. That means while you sleep, the word of God is speaking. While you slumber, the word of God is speaking. While you work, the word of God is speaking. So when we talk about the word not returning void, it is because the word is always working, the word is always moving, the word is always speaking. Even when we talk about God working behind the scenes, and a lot of these cliches, you have to understand, they might be cute cliches in church, but hopefully they're backed up with real principles. So when we say that God is working behind the scenes in your life, that we may not be able to put a verse or text on it, but we can definitely put a biblical principle behind it. For when we say that God is working behind the scenes, or when we sing, "Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working." What we're really talking about is that God's word and God's voice are continually speaking and moving mountains in our lives and on our behalf. That is why I have always been a declaration guy. Continually declaring the word of God over my life and over my situation. So now that we know that God has never lost his voice, we know the question is not, is God speaking? We now know the onus and responsibility is on us, church, that are we listening to what God is saying? Because we cannot do until we hear the word. And not just hear the word, but listen for the word and listen to his voice. Meaning we are listening for understanding. All right, God, this is what your word said on Wednesday night. This is what Pastor Brandon preached on Wednesday night. But God, how do I take that word from a sermon and apply it to my life, for my growth, for my encouragement, inspiration, or change? And I think that's the difference between a lot of people at Living Way and a lot of people going to dead and dry churches, is we know the word of God is alive. It's quicker than any two-edged sword. It is like fire shut up in my bones. The word of God works. But there is a difference between reading his word and knowing his voice. How many of you are texters? You like to text. Raise your hand. I love to text. You've heard me talk about it. It cuts out all of the small talk. It's direct and straight and to the point. There's no wasted time. There's no wasted words. How many of you are phone talkers? Just raise your hand. You like to talk on the phone. The only time I talk on the phone is when I'm in my truck and I can't text. And so I'll call my friends, and I've got a pastor I call every Wednesday night after church. And I talk to him all the way home. And sometimes he doesn't answer. And he'll call me right when I sit down in my recliner. And I just let it ring. Because now it's time to text. It's not time to talk. But if Mandy were to text me tonight, she were to text me from next door, watching all of those wonderful children and teaching them. If she were to text me, I would be able to tell by what she's texted, how those words are arranged, and what word she uses, and text is a written word, I would be able to tell if that's really Mandy or if somebody has hijacked her phone. You know how I can tell if it's Mandy? Because I'm in relationship with her. I've known Mandy for 35 years. I spent the last 23 years in relationship with her. I've lived with her for 22 years. I've talked to her for thousands of hours, and we've sent back and forth tens of thousands of text messages. Simply put, I would know if someone was trying to fake it because I am in relationship with the real thing. You say, that's a good illustration, but let's talk about Bible. Let's talk about Bible. Galatians 1:8 says this, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach another gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse." Meaning this, church, you and I have to be in such a deep relationship with Jesus. We have to spend so much time in his word, but more importantly, knowing his voice, that when a competing voice starts speaking into our lives, when a competing voice starts whispering lies and untruths into our life, we can look at the text and say, the text doesn't look right, and I know the voice and I know the word, and the word and the voice are not matching up with what is being spoken to me. That is so important in your life, church, because the enemy will use good people to lie to you. The enemy will use people with the same last name to get you out of the wheel or off track. And so I am encouraging you. February is going to be a month where we learn to listen to the voice of God. Thursday nights, digging into how to study God's word, because I want every time a false gospel is preached to you for you to be able to say, that's not my God's voice, that's not my God's heart. And if it's not his voice and it's not his heart, it's not my future. But we want to hear what someone else says. We want to listen to podcasts. We want to read other books, and not just secular books. We want to read Christian books. And what does this pastor have to say? And he just released a new book. And I'm telling you, support those pastors and support those men and women of God that are on the up and up and that are hearing from God and writing things to encourage, inspire, and challenge you. But I've come to tell you, there is no book like God's word. There is no voice like God's word and God's voice. And every voice in your life should be echoing what God has already said. Every voice that speaks into your life should be further fortifying the foundation that you have already built by his word. I've told you many times, and it happened a couple years ago, right over here, right before service, I walked out and a gentleman caught me by the arm and he said, Pastor, he said, I've got a word for you. I said, hey, before you give me this word, let me just break it down a couple things for you. Number one, I hear from God. I talk to God and he talks to me. I pray, I read the word of God, and so what you're about to say is going to confirm something that God has already said in my life. If it does not confirm what God has already spoken into my life, I will label you a false prophet. And I said, now if you'd like to go ahead and proceed with your prophetic word, I am all ears. But if you'd like to retract that statement, you are more than able to retract that right now. And he said, well, I think I'm just going to keep it to myself. And I said, that's probably best. And I just kept on walking. Why? Because I already know what God has said about my life. And I'm not discounting the prophetic words that men and women have come by to tell me. I'm not telling you that God hadn't called me out at camps and conferences and used a man or woman of God to speak something into my life, but they never said anything new. It was never surprising to me. It was God saying, hey, you haven't listened to my voice, so let me talk through a mouth that maybe you'll take it from. And I can say, man, God's been trying to get that point to me for 6 months, and now this person that doesn't know me from Adam has come along to speak the same thing into my life. Can I encourage you? Don't fall for another gospel. Don't believe those that say that God doesn't heal. Don't believe those that say God wants you to be broke. Don't believe those that say that there is no heaven. Don't believe those that say that God doesn't give the gifts of the Spirit any longer. That's another gospel, and I can spot a fake and a phony, a mile away, not because I'm good, but because the God that is in me has given me discernment and I know his voice. Let's dig a little deeper. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. This is so good. So good. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat, mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest, you will surely die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, next chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Somebody say, hath God said. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden, question mark. The enemy questioned, look at this. This is before written word. Up until this point, God's voice was the only word there was. Adam and Eve are in a garden, in a paradise. There is only two voices besides each other's that they've heard. God's voice and now the enemy's voice. Two distinctly different voices that are arguing about their now and their next and their future. And can I tell you, I don't care how much anointing oil you get slathered on you. I don't care how much you fast and pray and read your Bible. When you wake up tomorrow, there's still going to be two competing voices. The voice of God promising you victory. Sometimes that voice chastises you. Sometimes it rebukes to break me down, to build me back up. But there is another voice. And sometimes that other voice sounds better than God's voice. Because it starts pitting God's word against my flesh. Well, God doesn't really want you to eat from that tree, because if you eat from that tree, you're going to be like God. Here's the thing. I was made in his image. I'm already like God. Here's the thing. I've been to the upper room. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm as much like God today as I've ever been. I don't need your voice. I have his voice. Stay with me. The serpent was subtle. The enemy questioned God's voice in Eve's life. Somebody say Eve's life. He turned the phrase, God hath said, to hath God said. He took the period out and he replaced it with a question mark. God's will and voice for your life will never make more questions. Jesus is the answer. Jesus offers you punctuation, not a question mark, but an exclamation point and a period. And here is how God's voice is robbed from most believers' lives, is God has told us something through his word, or he has spoken something to us, and the enemy comes, and while we're sleeping, he takes the period out and he puts a question mark. And now it's, do I have to go to church to go to heaven? Do I have to give and tithe to be blessed? Do I have to serve for God to favor me? Do I have to? Do I have to? Do I have to? And it's question after question after question. God is not presenting you with more questions. God is saying, you have questions, and I am the answer. You have questions that have kept you up at night, but I have come to lend you my voice and tell you my will for your life, my word for your life. And so he's talking to Eve. I love what God showed me here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God is talking to Adam. He's not talking to Eve. Don't let the enemy put a question mark where God has put a period. Here is why hearing the voice of God is important, church. When God tells Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, every tree of the garden you can eat freely of, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Remember, this is not written word. This is spoken word. It's written for us, but it was only spoken to Adam. You shall surely die if you eatest thereof. He says this before Eve is created. This is an important thing. That was verse 17. Verse 18, right after he promises, and he gives Adam a word. What's the word? You can eat from every tree but this tree. If you eat from this tree, you die. If you don't eat from this tree, you will have life. That's the word. Verse 18, God says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. I'm going to tell you a dad joke that has been a long time since I said it. Do you know why Eve was called a woman? Because when Adam went to sleep, God took a rib and he created her. Adam woke up and he said, whoa, man. Okay, that was. Follow this now. Eve has not yet been created. An uncreated Eve was depending on the man that God had created for her to hear the voice of God. God doesn't make a promise of a wife for Adam until God can depend on Adam to hear his voice. He says, I'm not going to bring you into the right relationship with them if I can't depend and trust you to hear my voice. Why would I want you to listen to her voice if I know that you can't listen to my voice? And so God said, before I bless you with her, I'm going to make sure that when I speak, you hear me. Adam, who didn't even know there was a woman in his future, didn't even know what a woman was. He didn't know there was any other place to live other than paradise. He was depending on hearing the voice of God. So an uncreated Eve is depending on a man in her future to hear the word of God, and Adam, or the voice of God. And Adam is here, and his future hangs in the balance. Paradise hangs in the balance. His relationship hangs in the balance. His unborn children hang in the balance of him being able to hear the voice of God. Can we pause the text right here? And can I just challenge somebody and say, maybe your life hasn't lined up with what God wants it to because you refuse to listen to his voice. Maybe what you prayed in 2024 has not yet come to pass because you've been talking, but you haven't listened to God talk. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. I knew it'd get quiet. I didn't know it was going to get that quiet. To the singles in the room today, and when I say singles, I'm talking about unmarried. So singles, I'm still talking to the dating people, the shacking up people, the playing house people. The devil has lied to you. You don't need a man, you need the voice of God. You don't need a woman, you need the voice of God. And until you can distinctly be able to tell that's God's voice, that's not God's voice, that's God's word, that's a different gospel. Until you can do that, you will never have the right woman or man walk into your life. You're begging God to bring them, and God is doing everything he can do to keep them from you because you refuse to listen to God's voice. It's a shame that we listen to preachers more than we do God. It's how denominations got started. People started believing man more than they did the voice of God. It's the reason why we've got Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Catholics and Pentecostals and Baptists. It's the reason why there's other false gospels like the Book of Mormon and Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims. Why? Because people started listening to man instead of listening to God. I am here to tell you, let God be true and every man a liar. If your voice doesn't line up with his voice, I'm done. I'm out. It's over. But we've got a generation that is hungry for the voice of God, hungry for the things of God. And so here we are seeing Adam and Eve. Before God will hook you up with the right somebody, he will make sure that you can hear and follow his voice. Before God will hook you up with the right stuff, he will make sure that you can hear and follow his voice. I love this. God gives an invitation for us to listen. We're going to dive into the word of God these next few Wednesdays and Thursdays. But I need you to fall in love with the word and the voice. I don't know how long for you married folks. I don't know how long you've been married, but I've been married now, it'll be 22 years next week. I can pick Mandy's voice out of a crowd. I can be in a crowded room and I can hear her talking to somebody 15 feet behind me, and I know that voice, and that voice still makes me feel like I was a 20-year-old kid when we got married. It's that voice. Some of us, and I've said this before, but it needs to be said again, some of us have fallen in love with his face and his hand, but we don't listen to his voice. Can I encourage you in 2025, turn CNN and Fox down, or better yet, turn them off. Get in your word. But when you're reading the word, you know what your prayer should be? Lord, speak to me. I'm reading what you've written to us, but God, I want you to speak something that is individual to me and my situation and what I'm going through. I just want to hear your voice. And so in this place tonight, God is giving everyone an invitation. Are you ready to listen? If the media team, you young men are doing a great job tonight. If you could throw up the Verizon Wireless guy up on the screen. Y'all remember that dude? So annoying. Can you hear me now? Would go all over the world. He's just trouncing around. Can you hear me now? Good. He was asking, and his sole purpose was to make sure that we could hear him. But I'm going to give you a hard truth here in the final moments of this message. It's not God's responsibility to make sure you can hear him. It's God's responsibility to speak. And when he speaks, whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, I love the written word. He's exalted his word above his name, but there is something so awesome when I'm reading the word of God and my father says, Brandon, this, and this, Brandon. And he starts telling me something about what I'm going through. I want to encourage you today. Some of us are waiting for God to make us listen, but God making you listen is robbing you of free will, the greatest gift that he has given us. And just like when you used to try to make your toddler listen, it does not work. And you can put them in time out and you can punish them, but you cannot force them. They have to grow to the place of relationship that they will listen to you. I remember that boy right there and that girl right there stomping out of the living room. I remember them rolling their eyes when I was talking to them and teaching them things when they were young and they didn't know any better, not knowing dad is not trying to control my life. He is trying to bring focus and direct my life. I'm talking to somebody today that you've been mad at God or you've been mad in the presence of God at the world and you've been waiting on God to make you listen. God is not going to make you listen, but I have good news for you tonight. Your God is still speaking into your life. Your God is still speaking over your life. God is speaking, and I have come to help you hear God's voice. Stand on your feet. He that has an ear, it's God's responsibility to speak. Our last point for the night, it is our responsibility to hear his voice and follow him. There's a great author that said this, and I had some great teachers and not so great teachers in high school, but one of the great teachers, and I was a little disappointed when I found out that they didn't come up with this phrase. But there's a famous author that says, I can explain it to you, but I can't make you understand it. I've heard it said like this too, I can tell you, but I can't make you understand and believe what I'm telling you. There's so many times, even in a way where I wasn't combative with God, but I'm like, God, speak. God, I need to hear your voice. And then God has to gently reprimand me, church, and say, Brandon, I've always been speaking. You just haven't been listening. I've always been declaring the word. Remember Isaiah 55, I've spoken the word. It's not going to return to me void. It will go out to accomplish my purpose in your life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, he that has an ear, let him hear. Matthew 11, 15 in the NLT says it like this, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Most of the reason why we hear God but don't obey God is not because we are diametrically opposed to his hand, his voice, and his spirit. Most of the time it's because we don't understand. And when we don't take time to understand, we just ignore. Ignorance means a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, experience, information. There's truly some of us that are willfully ignorant. God speaks something to us at the beginning of the year, but it's going to take some Thursday nights to dig into that. What does that mean, God? What does your written word say about that promise or that dream you gave me? He that has ears, let him hear. Hears to listen and understand, but I love this. Revelation 2 says the same thing. Anyone with ears to hear must listen. When Jesus said this in Matthew, He says, anyone that has ears to hear. Let them listen. You know what Jesus was saying? I'm in front of you. Listen to me. If you have ears, don't miss it. You know what's heartbreaking? 2.5 million people are outside of these walls. God is speaking, and they're not listening. That's sad. But you know what's really sad? The few hundred of us that have huddled here together tonight, we're in His presence. We're worshiping. We're hearing His written word. We're praying, but we're still not listening. Let me not talk about you. Let me talk about me for 30 seconds. How many times have I sat right there and I knew God was talking, but I didn't listen? I've caught myself here in the last few weeks. I'll be having a full-blown conversation with Mandy. I think I did it to David the other day, and I need to stop because it's a bad friend and I'm a bad husband when I do it. We'll be in full-blown conversation, and when I get through saying what I want to say, I go to my phone and I'm texting somebody and they're saying something, and then I have to actually stop and I'm embarrassed. I say that again. I'm sorry. What does that mean? I heard you, but I wasn't listening. How many times have you prayed and your word and voice were made known, but you didn't listen to what He said back? God, I want you to do this in my life. Your promises are this, 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 this. And you're quoting written word. And God's saying, yes, that is true, but this is what I need you to do. Do, 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 do. So Jesus says, let those that have ears listen to what I'm saying. But Revelation, John the Revelator says this, and I'm finishing with this. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give you fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Never heard this point in all of my life. I told Darren today, I said, I can't wait to preach this tonight. You start in Genesis chapter 2. There's a tree of life. And God is speaking to Adam. He's saying, don't eat from this one tree. Everything else is yours. And we end Revelation with John talking about there's a tree. But he said, he that has ears to hear, and John's word in Revelation is different than Jesus and Matthew. Jesus was saying, listen to me. But John is giving us a prophetic view of life today where Jesus physically is not here. And John is saying, listen to Jesus' spirit. He didn't say, go and read the word of God and write it down and memorize it. And all of that is important. He said, there is a relationship with God where you listen and hear what His spirit says. He says, and when you do that, victory is yours. And there's a tree that you can eat from in a place called paradise. Genesis chapter 2 and 3, paradise unravels because they forgot the voice of God. And the voice of the snake sounded a lot like God. But it took the period, put a question mark, and the rest is history. I wasn't going to make this point, but I'm going to make it here at the end. It can't be proven, but I think there's a lot of evidence that we can point to that Eve never heard the voice of God. Adam heard the voice of God. And Eve didn't know that she was depending on her husband to hear the voice of God and then give her what he said, unpolluted and not diluted. I don't want to just talk to the married couples, but can I tell you that who you do life with matters? Who you hook up with matters? I say this with all seriousness. Who your pastor is matters. Because sometimes, I've been coming here for 43 years, I've had a hell of a week, and I sit right there, or I sit right there, and I heard my dad and mom preach for years, and visiting speakers come in, and sometimes, I didn't know, but I needed the word that God gave them about me and my situation. The altars are open tonight, and this is the altar call, church. This is my appeal to you. If you're ready not to just hear God, if you're ready to listen, if you're ready to listen to what the Spirit is saying, if you are ready for your personal devotion with God to go to a new level, meaning this, that when I read the Word of God is going to read me. When I open the Word of God, His Spirit is going to begin to talk. It's going to begin to dig into my life. I talk to my parents almost every day. We have a weekly meeting Monday at 1 o'clock. We meet and talk, discuss church things and life things and family things and business and pleasure and everything else. But if there is a day that goes by when I don't physically talk to them, I still hear their voice. When I'm driving a little too fast on Interstate 10, I hear my mom in my head saying, "Now, Brandon, Cody, you're going too fast." But luckily, then I hear my dad's voice saying, "Ah, you're doing all right, son." Then when I'm making a business deal, I'll hear my mom's voice say, "Brandon, have you prayed about it?" But I'll also hear my dad's voice saying, "Hey, are you sure you should be doing this?" Look, and I hear my dad's wisdom that he's given me for 43 years.